Jayadev Goswami, and this song describes the different, the main incarnations of Lord Krishna, and describes the appearance of Lord Ramachandra, or the mission of Lord Ramachandra, as the activities of Lord Krishna, who came in this wonderful form. So I'll read the translation, then we can sing it. O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of Ramachandra, all glories to you. In the battle of Lanka, you destroy the ten-headed demon, Ravana, and distribute his heads as a delightful offering to the presiding deities of the ten directions, headed by Indra. This action was long desired by all of them, who were much harassed by this monster. Later on we will discuss the meaning and other aspects, so now we will sing. Vir Baba Mahotsava ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripa tamaham vande shri gurum dinataranam paramananda madhavam shri chaitanya mishvaram. So today is most auspicious day, the appearance day of Lord Ramachandra, and it's a day actually of celebration, great celebration. We can imagine how it was. Maybe we cannot imagine. We can imagine, but we cannot really imagine how it was in Ayodhya Dham, the capital city of Lord Ramachandra, where he was born. How big the celebration was when Lord Ramachandra appeared after Maharaj Dasharatha, his father, was waiting for many, many years. He didn't have a son. And the Lord decided to appear in the family of Maharaj Dasharatha because he was a great devotee, a pure devotee, and also because the, as we sang, the devas, devatas, the rulers of the universe who work for Krishna. There are rulers in the universe, but they work for Bhagavan. Bhagavan, God, is one, and then there are rulers who work for him. This is explained in many parts of Bhagavad Gita. So the rulers of the universe were having trouble with a great Rakshasa, a great demon named Ravana. The name Ravana means he who makes others to cry. Other people cry because of him. Since the beginning, he was actually a great tyrant. He, like Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, Shishupal, they are the great tyrants in the history of the material universe. So it is most auspicious to dedicate today's, the whole time, the whole day, to remember the transcendental pastimes, character, mission of Sri Ramachandra. And this is what we want to do. In this morning class, we will have two sections. I'll speak some time reflecting on Lord Ramachandra's character, also Ravana's character, to see what we can learn from his activities, and also Srimati Sita Devi's character. Srimati Sita Devi, as you know, is the eternal consort of the Supreme Lord. It is his pleasure potency, his personal energy. And then His Holiness Prahlavananda Maharaj will speak about whatever he feels inspired to speak on Lord Ramachandra. We didn't want to miss the opportunity that Maharaj is here the last day to hear from him. So it will be more or less, I'll speak about 20 minutes or so, 20, 25 minutes. Today is fasting, so we can fast. We fast from food, but we don't fast from kata, so we can go a bit longer. Please don't mind if I get enthusiastic. So I will read one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto. As you know, the transcendental pastimes of Lord Ramachandra is described in the Ramayana by Valmiki Muni. There are many different versions of the Ramayana, but Valmiki's version is the original and the most authorized version. And as you know, the Ramayana has been sung since time immemorial for many, 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 many thousands and thousands of years. The Ramayana has been sung. The glory of the Lord is unlimited and is eternal. Therefore, Sri Shukadeva Goswami in Srimad Bhagavatam, he has given a summarized version of the Ramayana in three chapters, actually two chapters, and the third chapter is just a summary of the dynasty of Lord Ramachandra's sons, Kusha and Lava. So I'll read three verses from chapter 11, 9th canto, verses 21, 22, and 23. The chapter is entitled Lord Ramachandra Rules the World. Yasya malam nripa sadashu yashodunapi gayanti akaknam rishayadiki ipendrapatam tamna kapala vasupala kirita yushta padam bujam rakupatim sharanam prapadye. Srila Prabhupada's translation and later on purport. Lord Ramachandra's spotless name and fame, which vanquish all sinful reactions, are celebrated in all directions, like the ornamental cloth of the victorious elephant that conquers all directions. Great saintly persons like Markandeya Rishi still glorify his characteristics in the assemblies of great emperors like Maharaj Yudhishthira. Similarly, all the saintly kings and all the demigods, including Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, worship the Lord by bowing down with their helmets. Let me offer my obeisances unto his lotus feet. Saya isprishto vidrishova samvishto nugato piva kosalaste yajustanam yatraga chanti yoginaha. Lord Ramachandra returned to his abode, to which bhakti yogis are promoted. This is the place to which all the inhabitants of Ayodhya went after they served the Lord in his manifest pastimes by offering him obeisances, touching his lotus feet, fully observing him as a father-like king, sitting or lying down with him like equals, or even just accompanying him. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Janma Karma Chamedeviam, Evam Yoveti Tatvataha, Tyakvade Hampunar Janma, Naiti Mameti Swarjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Here this is confirmed. All the inhabitants of Ayodhya who saw Lord Ramachandra as citizens, served him as servants, sat and talked with him as friends, or were somehow or other present during his reign, went back home, back to Godhead. After giving up the body, the devotee who becomes perfect in devotional service enters that particular universe where Lord Ramachandra or Lord Krishna is engaged in his pastimes. Then, after being trained to serve the Lord in various capacities in that Prakata Lila, the devotee is finally promoted to Sanatana Dhamma, the supreme abode in the spiritual world. This Sanatana Dhamma is also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, Parastat Tasmat Tu Bhavanyo Vyakto Vyaktat Sanatana. One who enters the transcendental pastimes of the Lord is called Nitya Lila Pravishta. To understand clearly why Lord Ramachandra returned, it is mentioned herewith that the Lord went to that particular place where the bhakti yogis go. The impersonalists misunderstand the statements of Srimad Bhagavatam to mean that the Lord entered his own effulgence and therefore become impersonal. But the Lord is a person, and his devotees are persons. Indeed, the living entities like the Lord were persons in the past, they are persons in the present, and they will continue to be persons even after giving up the body. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. And another verse, Purusho Ramacharitam Shravanair Upadarayan Anrisham Siya Parorajan Karma Bandhair Vimuchyate. O King Parikshit, anyone who orally receives the narrations concerning the characteristics of Lord Ramachandra's pastimes will ultimately be freed from the disease of envy, and thus be liberated from the bondage of fruitive activities. I'll just open my notes to focus, otherwise I may go all over the place. I may still do, but it's... the notes will help. So, I wanted to reflect a little bit on Lord Ramachandra's appearance day and his transcendental character. Lord Ramachandra is known as Maryada Purushottama. Maryada Purushottama means the Supreme Lord who follows, strictly follows, the principles of human behavior, of human culture, divine culture, Varnashram culture. And he shows the example of how to be a good son, a good disciple, a good husband, a good leader, a perfect king. Recently we were in Cabo Verde and we gave the prime minister a copy of the Ramayana. And the idea was to establish the connection that Lord Ramachandra was the perfect social leader. So every ruler, every prime minister, president, king, GBC, temple president, every leader in society should follow in the footsteps of Lord Ramachandra. He was taking care of the citizens like if they were, as if they were his own sons. And he was ready to take their feedback, ready to listen to what were their concerns, and ready to respond to them according to the principles of Dharma, not whimsically, but according to what scriptures say, how a human being should act. Lord Ramachandra's example teaches us the principle of Sanatan Dharma. The duties of religion in order to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's God himself, but he's coming as Naradeva, the perfect human being, the king, the perfect king, who sets an example for everyone else to follow. And we see, for example, when his father, Maharaj Dasharath, due to the promise he had given to one of his queens, Kaikeyi, that he gave her two boons because she saved his life in a battle. And she said, I'll ask you when I need it. No, I don't need it, but when I need it, I ask you. Also, we learn many things from human behavior. We can learn also many practical things from Ramayana. When somebody tells you, don't give me it now, I'll ask you when I need it. Watch out. Anyway, you may have to say, okay, that's if I promise something, I should fulfill my promise. But this is what happened to Maharaj Dasharath. Kaikeyi, influenced by her servant who was affected by evil forces, affected her consciousness. Normally, the servant, the hunchback servant, Mantara was her name. She would have not acted like that. By the will of the Lord, by the influence of evil forces, in order to perform the pastimes of the Lord, she became very badly influenced. And just shortly before, Lord Ramachandra was going to be crowned as the king of Ayodhya. Maharaj Dasharath was about to retire. Mantara influenced Kaikeyi and convinced her to use her two boons to ask Maharaj Dasharath to make her own son, Kaikeyi's son, Bharata, the king, and to send Lord Ramachandra to the forest for 14 years. Just imagine what a cruelty. The perfect prince, beloved by everyone, so much beloved that the whole Ayodhya, when he was sent to the forest, the whole Ayodhya went with him. And only because he ordered them to go back, they went back. But they didn't want to go back. He was so much dear by everyone. But still, he was asked to go to the forest for 14 years. And Maharaj Dasharath couldn't bear such a punishment. For him was, actually he was feeling even more punished. By the punishment, by the absolutely unfair punishment he was giving his son on the day of his coronation as a king. He was actually feeling even more punished. He was feeling the pain even much more. Lord Ram, he didn't feel any pain. He showed the perfect son, the perfect Dharma. His father ordered him, you go to the forest, this is the wish of your mother. And he took it without the least resentment. He took it with pleasure. And in this way, he shows the example on how to please superiors. The Lord knew the situation. The Lord knew his father didn't want any ill for him. Even he knew Kaikeyi, she was a victim herself. She was influenced by the lower modes of material nature. Ultimately, by his will, ultimately, even though there is free will, but ultimately to us, by his will. So he didn't blame her. Similarly, we can learn not to blame people who act as instrument of our karma, our suffering, but to accept it as to accept it as it comes with pure consciousness, as Lord Ramachandra exemplified. Then his wife, Srimati Sita Devi. Srimati Sita Devi is the example. She is the eternal consort of the Lord. She is therefore Ladini Shakti. She is the owner of pure bhakti, pure love of Godhead. He is the Lord's energy. All the energies of the Lord ultimately emanate from her. A material nature emanates from Sita Devi, from the Lord's eternal consort. And she accompanied him. She said, of course, I'll follow you wherever you go. I'll go to the forest. They were actually recently, not long ago, married. So she was going to become the queen, and she decided to follow her husband wherever he went. So in this way, she teaches the example of the perfect chaste wife and the perfect chaste devotee of the Lord. Both examples are there. How the devotee of the Lord will follow the Lord wherever he goes. Wherever the Lord, whatever test the Lord gives to the devotee will be willing to serve the Lord no matter what. That is the teachings, the example given by Srimati Sita Devi. And even though when she was kidnapped, also by the Lord's Yogamaya potency, by his own Lila potency, the Lord created a situation in which Srimati Sita Devi was kidnapped by the terrible demon Ravana, who was more condemned than urine, the Bhagavatam says. Ravana, he was condemned like urine. There are two types of sons, Srila Prabhupada explains. One is named Putra. Putra means the son who will act so religiously that he will liberate his ancestors, if need be, from hellish life. Putra. And then there is Mutra. Mutra means urine. Both come from the same part of the body. But one is glorious and brings glory to the family, and the other is actually brings disgrace to the family. So from Ravana we can learn what not to do. He's the role model of what we shouldn't do. Since the beginning he was harassing people, harassing women, harassing other human beings, harassing other rulers. He was not honoring the share of other rulers on not just on Earth, but all over the universe. Harassing the demigods, killing, raping, torturing, performing all kinds of sinful activities. Therefore, he is known as Ravana, he who makes cry other living beings. So we should learn what not to do. What not to do. How not to exploit others. Whenever we have a position of responsibility, father, teacher, social leader, we should not misuse it to mistreat other people, to exploit others, either physically, psychologically, sexually, socially, in whatever way. We should never use the positions of responsibility we have to mistreat others. If we do so, we will find the same destiny found by Ravana. We will find destruction. Ravana was so powerful that he was feared even by the demigods in the universe. The demigods didn't dare to confront him. And therefore they asked Lord Vishnu to descend to Earth and to destroy him. Despite the fact that Ravana was so powerful, he had many boons to attain power. He had worshipped Lord Shiva and he had performed different sacrifices. He was the son of a Brahmana, actually. He was coming from a good family. But he misused whatever boons he received. And therefore, instead of receiving further boons, he received curses. And everybody was cursing him. Everybody. Whoever he met, they will curse him. When he met Vedavati, actually, she was practicing asceticism in the Himalayas. She was a saintly woman, very beautiful. He became attracted to her and he wanted to bring her to his harem as a wife. He didn't honor her desire. So when he touched her, took her by the hair with her hand, she had mystic powers. She was actually the potency of the Lord, had appeared as Vedavati. So she cut with her hand, she cut her hair, and then she cursed him, because you touch me, I don't want to live anymore. But I will come back again, and I will cause your destruction. I will take birth on earth. So she burned her body to ashes by her yoga power. So like that, he also in Ayodhya, I forgot the name of the king, a king many years before Lord Ramachandra, he tortured the king. Even after killing him, he actually treated him in a very abusive way, not in a respectful way, even though the king was dying. But he was badly abusing him. And then he cursed him that in this very same place, it will take birth a king who will destroy you. And he was very proud because as a Rakshasa, he was superior to human beings. So like that, he was cursed again and again when he forced Ramba, the heavenly Apsara, married to Nalakuvara, the son of Kuvera. Nalakuvara also cursed him that if you ever dare to force any other woman into sexual relationship, you will die immediately. And therefore, Ravana, he was very careful. And when he kidnapped Sita Devi, he didn't dare to force, but he was trying to force himself, but he was trying to seduce her. Srimati Sita Devi, as a loyal devotee and a loyal wife of her lord and husband, she was totally fixed, feeling very much the separation of the Lord. And she couldn't bear to live separated from him. But she was hoping that the Lord will come and rescue her. And so it happened. I'll stop here. We'll finish with two verses and then hand over to His Holiness Prabhupada Maharaj, and then we can hear more. These are two verses. One verse is quoted in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's from Ramayana. And this is a very encouraging verse for us. It's a verse spoken by Lord Ramachandra so that we can get courage in our devotional service. How grateful the Lord is, the perfect master, the perfect God, we can say also. He's the perfect Supreme Lord. he quoted this verse when Vibhishana, Ravana's good brother, came to surrender unto him. And when he came, the rulers, Sugriva, Hanuman, all the leaders of the monkey and bear's army, who helped Lord Ramachandra to conquer Lanka and to finish with Ravana, they were suspicious of Vibhishana. They said, he's a demon, let's make him a prisoner, let's kill him, they were saying different things, they had different opinions. But then the Lord quoted this verse. He said, Sakriteva prapannoyas tavasmiti chayachate abhayam sarvada tasmai dadamyetat vratam mama. It is my vow that if one, only once, seriously surrenders unto me, saying, my dear Lord, from this day I am yours, and prays to me for courage, I shall immediately award courage to that person, and he will always remain safe from that time on. This is the promise of the all merciful Lord. And then there is another verse attributed to Sri Bilba Mangal Thakur, very, very beautiful. Some of you may have read it. Ramo nama babu bahum tatabala siteti hum tan pitur vacha pancha vati vane viharatas tasya karat ravana nidrartam janaki katam iti harer hum karata shrimvata saumitre kvadanur danur danuriti vyagragira pantuna. Mother Yashoda is telling Sri Krishna, child, a story. There was once a king named Ram. This is Lord Krishna replying. He's about to sleep. So he's His wife was Sita. When they went to the Panchavati forest, by his father's order, Ravana kidnapped her. The story was intended to put him to sleep, and Hari was responding, as he listened. But upon hearing about Janaki, he suddenly jumped up and said, "Lakshman, my bow, where is my bow?" May these agitated words protect us all. Shri Ramachandra Bhagavan Ki Jai.
Oma Ganatvarandasya Ganantana Salakaya Chakskur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. This is from the Nectar of Devotion. An apparently pitiable condition in devotional service may appear distressing to the inexperienced student, but the feelings of the devotee in this pitiable condition are considered to be ecstatic by expert devotees. For example, the subject matter of the Ramayana is sometimes considered pitiable and distressing to the heart. But actually it is not the fact. The Ramayana narrates how Lord Rama was sent to the forest by his father just when he was going to be enthroned. After the Lord Ram's departure, Maharaj Dasarath, his father, died. In the forest, his wife Sita was kidnapped by Ravana, and there was a great war. When Sita Devi was finally delivered from the clutches of Ravana, Ravana's whole family and kingdom and Ravana himself were vanquished. When Sita Devi came home, she was tried by fire. And after some days, she was again banished to the forest. All these subjects in the Ramayana seem very pitiable, and they may appear very distressing to the reciter, but actually they are not. Otherwise, why would Hanuman, the great devotee of Lord Ramachandra, read daily about the activities of Lord Ramachandra, as described in the Ramayana itself? The fact is that any of the above-mentioned 12 transcendental humor is a devotional service. Everything is transcendentally pleasing. Especially the Ramayana is one of the pastimes of Krishna. Krishna in the human form in the spiritual world, in case you wind up there and you need some directions. Ayodhya is situated above the Vaikuntha planets. Just before, when you get out of the Brahman effulgence, then you take a left and you get to Shiva Loka. And on Shiva Loka, Lord Shiva is there with Parvati and Nandishvara and all his liberated associates. And then if you go a little further, a lot further actually, you get to Vaikuntha. And Vaikuntha, there are many varieties of Vaikuntha planets. It's presided over by Lord Narayan in his 24 features. But as Gop Kumara, he went further, because when he was in Vaikuntha, according to the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he was the only one who was depressed there in all of Vaikuntha. Not exactly materially depressed. He was spiritually depressed because his complete rasa was not manifested with Krishna. And therefore, Narada Muni told him to go a little further, and he wound up in Ayodhya with all Hanuman, Sugriva, and even Dvivida was there, actually, who later on came, well, whose appearance on this earth, at least partially, was a little inauspicious after some time. He did get Krishna's association, though, personally. In any case, all these monkey soldiers were there, and it was quite ecstatic. It was described how Hanuman was serving Lord Ramachandra in many, many different ways simultaneously, practically. He would take the chamara fan and fan him, then he'd go down and dust off his shoes, then he'd bring some prasadam. So he was so excited about his service, he couldn't do enough of it. He kept on changing one service to the next. And apparently Gop Kumara stayed there for a long time. He was quite appreciative of Lord Ramachandra's beauty, his qualities, his associates. But still, Lord Ramachandra was not the same personality as that cowherd boy in his meditation with a flute, who, as it says, was a rake. Everyone knows what a rake is. It's not a rake that you rake the... He's kind of like, what is it, Mother, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Ashishava padam panashtumam, adarshna mama hatam karotuva, ita tatavarada tu lumpato, lumpato. So, a lumpato, a debauchee. So he was thinking, my coward boy doesn't follow the regular principles, he doesn't follow the laws of the laws, he's... He's free to do what he wants, but this Lord Ramachandra, he's so beautiful and attractive, but he's very much strict about Dharma. In any case, he stayed there for a long time, and he appreciated Lord Ramachandra, but eventually Lord Ramachandra himself sent him to Dwarka to get Krishna's association there. So the point is that Lord Ramachandra represents the lila potency of Krishna in the human form, which is especially valuable for us to hear about. Because when we hear about Lord Krishna's appearance as a boar, Varaha, or Nrisimhadev, or as Matsya Avatar, or Korma, we may not be very inspired to go to that place. And I don't know what we do there. The mountain Mandara, which is supposed to be 80, Mandara, I guess, is 800,000, 100,000 yojana is big, made out of gold. So think about the price of gold nowadays. Think about a mountain 800,000 miles high, made out of gold, and around, it's it's quite big. And they needed that mountain, the demigods and the demons, when Lord Tortoise appeared underneath the mountain, they used that mountain to scratch his back. So just see how much effort, how much service is required just to scratch the Lord's back in that incarnation. So what can we do? But in certain incarnations, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Ramachandra, Lord Krishna, he appears in a way that we can actually relate to it. Of course, this is Treta Yuga, and for the most part, his appearance even as a human being is so extraordinary that it's almost like, for most people, it's mythology. Kadamba was, his arms were so long, I think it was something like 20 kilometers he had arms. He had one, he was a demon, who was actually a sage that was cursed, and he was, had only one eye and a mouth. Not very attractive personality. You won't find him on Facebook. But he had arms 20 kilometers long. And he had a spear, his spear. So when Lord Ramachandra met him with Lakshman, on his spear that he was hunting that day, he had one rhinoceros impaled on the spear. He had put the spear through the rhinoceros, a couple of elephants, and a few other animals. They were all on the spear simultaneously. So he was quite a personality. And what he was doing, he was just grabbing things from the forest and just stuffing them into his mouth when he wasn't spearing them with his spear. So these personalities, we may think, well, this is just mythology because it doesn't, we don't meet so many persons like that nowadays, at least not that size. We meet similar persons, but they're a little smaller. And there are other personalities, like we have Marici, who is flying in the sky, despoiling the sacrifice made by Vishvamrita and his followers. And even Ravana, that he was able to manifest 10 heads, etc. So these are all just persons flying in chariots with mules, powered by mules, talking monkeys, varanas, because Darwin could have done something with that, kind of like a missing link or something. That we just see in your Ramayana, the missing link is right there. And you have, you know, outer space and planets, just like one time Ravana, he went to Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj is in Sutala. The doorman there was Vamanadeva. And on Sutala, Ravana came there in order to get the help. He was going all around the universe trying to get support from the demons to fight against Lord Ram. He came there and Vamanadeva invited him in. And he saw his, I guess they're not really related, but they're he thought, well, here's my fellow demon. So he asked, can I get your support? So he said, I'm sorry, Bali Maharaj said, I'm not really into fighting nowadays, but I will give you a donation. I can't really personally support you, but I'll give you a donation, but you have to take it back with you to Lanka. So he said, no problem. So he took him into this room, and in the room, it was a limitless room. And in the room there was a mountain. And the mountain was made out of gold. And on the mountain of gold there was these boulders of diamonds. So just pick it up with you and take it back with you. So Ravana, he tried the best he could to pick it up. So although he was known as the lifter of Kailas, where Lord Shiva lived, he couldn't even budge the mountain of gold. So he said, I'm sorry, I need a little bit more exercise. I can't do it. So Bali Maharaj started to laugh. He said, oh, you want to fight against Lord Ramachandra, who's an incarnation of Vishnu. Well, I'd like to tell you that in another incarnation of Vishnu, known as Lord Narsingadeva, you also wanted to fight against him. You were Hiranyakashipu. And this particular mountain of gold is actually a ring. And these boulders on top of on the ring there are the diamonds. So this used to be your ring when you were Hiranyakashipu. Now, you become so tiny and insignificant, you can't even lift up your own ring. And the same Hiranyakashipu, who fought against Lord Ramachandra in a partial incarnation of his, and you were killed. And now you want, in this little tiny puny incarnation of Ravana, you want to fight against Lord Ramachandra, and you think you have a chance? Good luck. So Ravana was a little discouraged. He left the palace. And then on the way out, the same doorkeeper, Vamanadeva, who invited him in, kicked him. But although he's a little dwarf, his kick was so hard, he kicked him 800,000 yojanas. But because he was a demon, he wasn't totally discouraged. Although he was a little cautious, therefore when Ramachandra came with his army, he didn't go out and fight him immediately. He sent everyone else to fight him until they were all killed. So this all may sound, in one sense, it's quite all extraordinary, beyond our experience. And it's amazing enough, the 10th canto, which is Krishna as a cowherd boy in Vrindavan, at least in the beginning of it. Of course, there are demons there also, Trinavarta and Palambasura. It's kind of all very mystical and extraordinary. But Krishna is just a cowherd boy, innocent little cowherd boy, and he doesn't do very much. Sometimes he becomes heavier than a mountain and weighs down the neck of Trinavarta, or maybe he puts his hand into the mouth of Keshi and suffocates, expands. But compared to Treta Yuga, Dwarpa Yuga is rather sedate. It's rather mellow yuga. And even the demons there are rather not so powerful as they are in Treta Yuga. What to speak of Satya Yuga? The demons are powerful, the devotees are powerful, everyone's powerful. And things get reduced. But here is Treta Yuga, so it's extraordinary. The amazing thing is that no one has really made a movie out of it. It's like the most exciting movie. That and the Mahabharata, compared to something like, you know, the Ten Commandments, it's much more exciting. I mean, the cast of characters, you know, Marichi and Ravana and Kumbhakarna. Just having a movie just about Kumbhakarna, watching him pick up the monkey soldiers and put them into his mouth and chewing them into fat, and then the fat coming out his ears. He chewing so many monkeys that the fat was coming out of his ears. One time I asked Prabhupada that. I said, could I eat as much as prasadam as I want? And Prabhupada started to laugh. And he said, yes, you can eat as much as you want, but don't fill yourself up to here. But Kumbhakarna was filling himself so much that it was coming out his ears. That was the monkeys. He was putting into his mouth and chewing them. And these were not little monkeys. They were big monkeys. Does Kumbhakarna or Kadamba or, you know, all these other personalities who are appearing in the Ramayan would make a fantastic, you know, story and movie. And practically speaking, if you go to, for instance, you go to Thailand, which is a Buddhist country, the temples there are just filled with their own version of the Ramayan. They all worship in all these different Asian countries, or most of them. If you go to Burma, they have huge temples of Lord Ramachandra there. So this is a universally recognized and glorified personality, and eventually I guess this will be also in one way or another received within the Western world. But the point is, when you get down to it, although there's so many exciting things going on in the Ramayan that keep everyone's attention, Lord Ramachandra meeting Sugriva, fighting against Bali. Bali had gotten a mystic power from against Lord Shiva, the mystic powers that whoever he faced in battle, he get half their strength from. Therefore, he became practically undefeatable. Even one time he fought against Ravana, Ravana came, and Bali wrapped Ravana around on his tail, captured him by his tail, which is quite an embarrassment for Ravana. Some monkey grabbed me by a tail. I couldn't get out. Ravana, the conqueror of the demigods, got captured by a monkey's tail. It was just like he had rather die. And then on top of that, Bali Maharaj went all around the universe showing Ravana and his tail to all the demigods. It was just like it was too much. Because when Ravana went to fight against Bali, Bali got half his strength, so it was just like impossible to defeat him. So that's why in the story, Sugriva went to fight against his brother Bali, but it was impossible to defeat him. Although they were both brothers, at birth they had equal strength, but by this boon, immediately he lost half his strength, and Bali got it. So it was just, he was indefeatable. That's the reason why Lord Ramachandra, when he went to fight against Bali, he wasn't going to stand before Bali, give him half unlimited strength. That would be a little... But at the same time, he didn't want to disrespect the boon. So he hid behind the seven tala trees. And of course, the first time Sugriva went to fight against Bali, then, because they were twin brothers, Lord Ramachandra didn't know who was who. And therefore, he didn't fire his weapon. So eventually, Sugriva got banished, start running back to the place, Kishkinda, where they were hiding, or Pampa, I guess they were hiding in Pampa. Kishkinda was his kingdom. And then he said, Lord Ramachandra, you promised me that you would help me, but I went to fight against my brother Bali, and when things got bad, nothing happened. All I got was smashed. What's going on? So he said, well, I could have killed one of you, but I didn't know who was who. So next time you have to wear something, which makes it a little bit more apparent. So when next time Sugriva went and started to yell and shout and challenge Bali, then at that time Bali was completely intoxicated and he was with his wife Tara. So Tara said, something suspicious. Actually, Tara was Sugriva's wife. And somehow or another, it's a long story, but we'll tell part of it. There was one demon, Anadumdumbi. Demons had rather strange names back then. Anadumdumbi was in the shape of a bull. And he came into Kishkinda one day challenging everyone. So Bali went in and fought with him. Of course, Bali was indefeatable because he got half the strength. So there was a big fight, and it went on for a long, long time, and everyone was outside waiting who's going to win. And finally, some blood came out. There was a big, horrible roar. Some blood came out, and everyone thought, well, I guess Bali was killed for some reason. Sugriva took this boulder and shut the cave, make sure that Anandumdumbi didn't get out of the cave. Enormous boulder. So after some time, Bali pushed the boulder aside and thought, here I am. I just fought against this demon for the sake of our kingdom. And my brother, he just tried to kill me, take over the kingdom. That's how the material mind works. So I immediately attacked his brother, kicked him out of the kingdom, and then stole his wife. So Tara was, anyhow, the Mauryas and the Varna kingdom were not the topmost at the time. So she was living with Bali. And she thought, something's wrong. Bali, Sugriva just got defeated. He just fled. And now he's coming back, shouting and screaming to fight with you again. I suspect he must have some ally. And this is going to be very difficult for you to defeat him this time. Well, he said, no, I'll just kick him out and again, get him to flee. So he went out and fought with him, But this time, Lord Ramachandra, hiding behind seven taller trees, shot the arrow, pierced through the seven trees, and went into Bali's heart and killed him. Because if he would have fought him directly, then it would have been an embarrassment if he didn't give him at least half his strength, which is unlimited. So it was not a very... Lord Ramachandra had to figure out a better way of doing it. Of course, later on, he was criticized, even by the gopis, for doing that. When Uddhava came to deliver the message of Lord Krishna, and the gopis were criticizing Krishna for leaving Vrindavan, one of the criticisms they had was coming from Purnamasi, who had mentioned that in his previous life that he was so hard-hearted that as Lord Ramachandra, one lady named Surpanaka had come asking for a conjugal relationship. Because in those days, if any lady had asked a kshatriya for a conjugal relationship, the kshatriya was morally bound to agree to it. But it is said that he was so Purnamasi, according to the gopis, told him, that in his incarnation of Lord Ramachandra, he was so lusty after Sita that in order to please her, that even though Surpanaka had come asking for a conjugal relationship, in order to please Sita, he cut off poor Surpanaka's nose and ears. And not only that, he was so hard-hearted and he was such a coward that instead of fighting before his enemy in the way of a kshatriya, he hid behind seven trees and killed his enemy while he was hiding. So what can you expect of such a personality as that? What can he, you know, to get up and leave poor gopis is nothing for him. He can do anything. In any case, these pastimes are rather extraordinary. And even if we don't understand the deeper philosophical meanings of them, it manifests the potency of Krishna in a way which is actually attractive. Anyone who's powerful becomes attractive. And Krishna's incarnations are always the most attractive. Ravana, although he's glorified, just like any went out and defeated the demigods, still he was rather, compared to other demons, he was rather insignificant. But still he was glorified, otherwise the fight wouldn't have been very attractive. Even Kartavirya Arjuna, who had 1,000 arms, when he fought against Ravana, because Kartavirya Arjuna was enjoying with his women, with his wives in the lake, and Ravana was obstructing the passage of water. So Kartavirya Arjuna grabbed him with his 1,000 arms and put him into a cage, just like a little rabbit, which is quite embarrassing for Ravana also. Insignificant. Of course, later on, Kartavirya Arjuna was also killed, and all his sons, I think he had 10,000 sons, and his whole army was killed in a matter of minutes by Parasaram. So one, the universe is a hierarchy of power. The demigods is somewhere in between. The demons seem to be even more powerful. And above that all is Krishna and his incarnations. So to hear about them, generally it's in the relationship with some powerful demons and personalities like that. Otherwise there's not much fight going on. And if Krishna is only a lover, no one would be very much interested in him. Just like in World War II, I mean, just as an example, the Italians, although they're known to be very romantic, they were not very good fighters. Therefore, they weren't considered a very important country. On the other hand, other countries which are more aggressive are considered to be very much more prominent. So similarly, Krishna is not only aggressive in one sense, or the protector of his devotees, but he's also the most charming cowherd boy. So therefore, Krishna is the most attractive. And although his feature as Lord Ramachandra doesn't have the same romantic qualities, but still is quite romantic. Separation and longing, the vipralambra sevya, is really very much manifested in that pastime. And all kinds of, even more than you find in a pastime, say, Krishna appearing in other forms as Parasaram, or appearing in other human forms like Vamanadeva. The same variety of mellows and pastimes is not going on. It's rich with all mellows and pastimes. It's above the Vaikuntha mode. It's almost in the Dwarka mode. It's almost in the Vrindavan mode, but it's not quite. So it's enchanting and attractive, and certainly appears to the good for the moralists, which is one of the reasons Krishna comes, not only to show his attractive pastimes, but also to show how to live in this material world in a moral way. Because unless one comes to the mode of goodness and becomes a moral personality, then there is no question of it being able to come to transcendence. Unless one can come to the mode of goodness by acting morally in this world, unless one can stop the agitated mind by fixing it upon the principles of religion, then there's no question of actually developing the proper mentality for transcendence. So Lord Ramachandra shows both amazing pastimes, amazing associates, amazing opponents, amazing activities. Everything is just extraordinary. And it's all very, wonderful how he is able to fight against so many thousands of rakshasas, and how there's so much lamentation and heroism and so many different mellows going on simultaneously. And at the same time, he's, mad after Sita. He's trying to be a faithful husband and etc., etc. So many things are going on there. So it shows simultaneously the morality we have to learn, attractive pastimes, extraordinary activity. So much is woven into the Ramayana that it's become like the favorite book for countless generations. And although in India, for instance, Krishna is revered and respected, but still he's criticized also. But we don't find criticism against Lord Ramachandra. So that's really quite extraordinary also. Because I'm sure there's people in the Ravan camp who complain about it. I was told there were some scriptures, so-called scriptures that are written, where Ravana is the hero. You know about that? So if you want, you can even join Ravan's camp. A lot of people do. But in general, though, Lord Ram is the hero, and people don't criticize him so much. But Krishna, although Krishna is ultimately the hero, but Krishna is sometimes criticized unjustly because people don't understand. It's more difficult to understand Krishna than it is to understand Lord Ramachandra. But it's not really so easy to understand Lord Ramachandra either. But it's easy to appreciate what he's doing. So I'll stop there. Well, does anyone have anything to add or questions or comments? Thank you very much. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.